The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe.
And your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life was older than the trees, younger than the mountains, blowing like the breeze. Country road, take me home to the place where I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home.
Welcome to My Story of America Radio here on the Crusade Channel on the Veritas Radio Network. I am your host, Michael T. George, but that does not matter. What matters is the fun, exciting people we meet here every week on this station, on this network. I am coming to you live from our West Virginia studios, and let me tell you, fall in West Virginia is a great place to be. Beautiful weather, beautiful scenery. In fact, here in about an hour, my son and I will be heading to play golf up in Canaan Valley Resort, which is a great place to travel to. Just a massive valley up in the midst of the mountains, and the scenery is incredible. It's one of the things I love about this time of year is just how beautiful, as those fall leaves start to change, everything just looks so very good. You know, it is great to travel this nation, but it's always great to be able to get into the great outdoors and meet people that make just an impact on America. I'm often amazed at how many heroes dot our landscape, and yet nobody really knows who they are. And you know what? That's okay. Maybe they like it that way. And I know that the people I have interviewed in my books, every one of them have told me, "Wow, I don't have a story. I don't even know why you want to write about me." And I can tell you, as I travel the nation, people after people say, "How did you meet this person? Their life's incredible." So if you want to know more about some of these incredible people, check out the latest book, Author of Liberty, which you can easily get at Amazon.com. We've even made a URL to take you right there. It's called SecureYourLiberty.com. Just SecureYourLiberty.com will take you right to Amazon. You can get it in a hard copy. You can get it in an ebook. And I believe we even have some here on the Veritas Radio Network that I have signed. So you can get them through the network store as well. Well, today we have a special guest, a guy that I have never met in person, but I feel like we've got a good connection. We both have a good mutual friend. His name is Rick Stewart, who is executive director for NRA Life of Duty TV, and but Rick had introduced me and put me in contact with Micah Clark, and Micah Clark is the director of a place called Camp Patriot in Montana. And here's just a little preview of what you're going to learn about today on My Story of America Radio.
with the 2.3 million disabled veterans that we have living in this country today, and 30, 40,000 have been injured in Iraq and Afghanistan, our goal is to create that shift in their lives and hopefully create hope so that they realize that life isn't over. They're just going to be living a little bit differently.
I cannot tell you how exciting it was the other day riding a horse at full speed. It's another rush. It's a beautiful feeling, something live underneath you running. And then looking over to your right side, seeing your horse's shadow and seeing your shadow on top of it. As far as I knew, right then in that second, I'm perfectly healthy. There's not a darn thing wrong with me. I'm not missing no fingers. I'm not half blind. I didn't feel nothing except the movement of that horse.
You've just heard a preview, a little bit of what it's like to go to Camp Patriot. And so I want to bring on to the phone today my guest, Micah Clark, who runs Camp Patriot. Micah, glad to have you here today.
Dr. George, great to be here.
My pleasure. So you are up in Montana, I take it, today.
Yes, sir. I'm about 9 miles below the Canadian border and about 9-10 miles over the Panhandle, Idaho.
Wow, very good. Well, what I want to do is I want to get people to know who you are, about your organization, and really let them just share. I want you to share your story with really who you are, how this whole thing came about, and because that's what we do on My Story of America Radio. We really let you get an opportunity to just share how this all came about. So, Micah, share with the group a little bit about yourself and how Camp Patriot got started.
Okay. Well, in 2004, I came back from working some OGA contracts in Afghanistan, and I'd lost a couple buddies that were working some other places in the country or outside of the country in Iraq, and you know, it made a quite an impact on me to lose some good buddies, and it was just one of those things where I think when I came home, I decided to spend 30 days of working on my log cabin up in Libby, Montana, and spend some time just kind of decompressing myself. And one of those evenings when I was out fly fishing, I think God laid it on my heart to basically say, hey, you know, why don't you get the guys that have been injured, that the guys and gals that are, you know, don't get the opportunity you're doing right here and now. And the vision kind of grew into more of, hey, we should get a ranch, we should have a lodge, you know, really kind of do that five-star, that opportunity that most of those folks were in the same boat I am. I didn't have the money to go to those kind of places. So, you know, the vision kind of grew, and I had to basically just start doing the mission because I wasn't sitting on a pot of money to actually just snap my fingers and here we are, we got a ranch. So that's originally how it started, and I didn't know a thing about nonprofits. I actually purchased a nonprofit book for dummies and started going through the book and saying, okay, how hard could this be?
Now, where are you originally from, Micah?
Originally from Eastern Washington, and then my father and I, we got some land up here in Montana about 17 years ago, so we started building some log homes up here. We're avid fly fishermen, and so we kind of wanted to gravitate away from Washington and get into Montana.
It's one place I have never been. I've never been to Montana. There's only about 6 states that I have never been in. Montana is one of them, so I've definitely got to come up there sometime. I just know that the area is beautiful. Now, you said you're how many miles below the Canadian border?
Just about 9 miles below the Canadian border, so as you referenced, being West Virginia with the trees turning the colors, we're getting the same thing right now. It's fall is kind of hitting us in full swing, and it's we have a lot of tamarack in this neck of the woods, if you will. And so it's a lot of the golds and the greens, and yeah, it's beautiful.
We have a host on our network, Suzanne, that lives in the upper mountains of Utah. I think she lives up towards the north of Utah, if I'm correct. She has sent some beautiful photos of just the scenery and everything like that. There's nothing like, you know, in the fall, being outdoors and just experiencing that cool breeze, but also just the wonders of what God has created.
That's for sure. It's you breathe. It's a dead and decaying world, and I sit there and kind of go, "Wow, it still looks pretty beautiful to me." So I'm not sure exactly what what God has in mind, but it's beyond my imagination.
So So take me through the process of in the beginning when you decided to start Camp Patriot. Just lay out for us where you started, how it began, and just every little step along the way.
Well, yes, sir. I'll do my best. It was quite a journey. You know, early on, we decided a friend of mine was a guide on Rainier back in his college days, and so that became one of our pinnacle events for about 6 years. We were taking veterans that were blind and missing limbs to the top of the summit of Mount Rainier at 14,410 feet. And it was quite a logistics, you know, issue to get something like that going. And even after, you know, 5-6 years, it kind of became a well-oiled machine, but we were still spending probably about 3 to 4 months every year just in the planning stage of that. And so, you know, in between hunts and climbing Mount Rainier and getting to do the Pony Express ride, you know, with the two veterans, that's what that news clip that you played at the beginning of Gilbert Magliano's. He was a Green Beret, and he was riding horseback with another Green Beret, and we covered the state of Utah carrying the mail. So other than those opportunities, you know, we started looking at, okay, how are we going to get the funds in place to actually, you know, have this ranch and facilitate bringing a lot more veterans to the program? That's always been the goal. And I really, truly believe, you know, the idea of hope, if you can plant that seed, you know, what I've seen, and sometimes these trips are just a very special thank you. It all depends. There's, you know, there's so many variables in people's lives. But if you can create hope, what I've seen is it gets the imagination flowing, the you know, dreams are developed. And then when you have dreams, goals can, you know, start taking birth. And when you have goals, then you have a reason to live. And so, you know, that's kind of the idea of the outdoor recreational therapy programs. We show you have the abilities to live life and not look at the disabilities. Because you can just imagine. I can't even imagine. I thank God I wasn't injured. I felt very blessed, you know, during my service time. And you just never know. That's one of the big things why I started the program is, you know, why does that happen to that person and it didn't happen to you? And I sure as heck couldn't just press on and go, hey, that sucks for them. So that's why we decided to create this program and actually try to give back and create those opportunities that, you know, hope's there.
You know, here's what I like, and let me take this opportunity to ask this question. So you told me that the guy we did the clip of, he did the Pony Express ride across the whole state of Utah. Is that correct?
We did. The Pony Express Association actually has that broken down in many teams through the states that the trail actually runs. And so we were friends with one of the trail bosses. And so the guys would ride a mile or two and then get off. Somebody else would carry the mail. And so there was a lot of teams going through. I can't tell you. I can't remember how many miles totally they covered. But it was off and on. It was kind of like a relay. There's a lot of people who want to take, you know, be a part of that. So with the association, they get a lot of folks, and it was the 150th anniversary re-ride. So we didn't ride the whole way through the state of Utah, but we were doing bits and pieces of it.
That is really cool. Now, the guy that did the, you know, from what I could tell on the clip, it sounded like, you know, tell me a little bit more about him and, you know, what's the things that he's dealt with in disabilities.
Gilbert Magliano is a great guy. He was, I might have the ODA team wrong. I think it's ODA 572 or 574. They're the team that the government picked to grab Karzai and bring him back into Afghanistan not too long after the towers went down to appoint him and put him in a position of power there. And there's a great book called The Only Thing We're Dying For, and it's about Mag and his team and their adventure bringing, you know, Karzai back into Afghanistan. But there was a JDAM dropped on the team at one point, and I believe it killed three of the team members, and Mag actually had the very first open traumatic brain injury of the war. So he had a heck of a scar going from the top of his scalp almost down by his neck, and then he had lost three fingers, vision in his eye, as he mentioned, and so those were the things that he was conquering, and he still, I think he's ranked, like, nationally, you know, for traditional bow competition, so he does quite well with missing an eye, so he's adapted and overcame, as most SF guys would.
You know what's amazing. And when you get a chance to talk to him, he made an impact in that area that in a way that he doesn't even realize. Whenever the U.S. military had actually went in and they had overthrown the Taliban, and you've got the new government coming in, what that did was that opened up the country in a way that there's a guy in my new book, Author of Liberty, that his story really ties into what was going on. He grew up in Afghanistan, grew up Islamic, witnessed the Taliban doing beheadings, witnessed them doing stoning women to death. And his whole life changed the day that a couple from Georgia had come to Afghanistan to do a tour because the country had been opened up now. And so they actually hired this guy we call John as their tour guide. And they end up changing his life later on with introducing him to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that never takes place without, the men and women in there, fighting to, overthrow some of the evils that were definitely in that part of the world. So men like that, they sometimes never even hear the backstories of things that they have led to and, they've lost eyes for, limbs for, and yet they've impacted people's lives that they'll never know about until, they get to the other side of eternity.
Correct. Yeah, it's amazing the sacrifice that our men and women, and let me take a moment just to thank all the veterans that are listening to your show right now. We really appreciate your sacrifice and what it takes to be away from your families and the dedication. We just can't thank you enough, and we love you and appreciate you.
My dad's a decorated veteran of the Vietnam War. He's 73 years old, 73 or 74. And he was wounded in Vietnam, took a guy in front of him. My father says he doesn't really remember. He doesn't remember if a mortar came in and exploded or a guy in front of him stepped on a landmine and exploded. But my dad took shrapnel and everything in his leg and his chest. And I thought about this the other day when I was down visiting my father. You can see the physical problems there, like with his leg. I'll tell you a funny story. My dad's leg is kind of deformed in some area. It's got some deep hole cavities and everything, and you can tell it's messed up. Well, when I was young, I was probably about 6-7 years old, we were at this place called Audra State Park, and they have a little river that runs through it. And as a kid, you go there and you jump off the rocks into the river and you swim. That's where you go. I can remember as a young boy, another young boy coming over and asking my dad, saying, "Mister, what happened to your leg?" And my dad, just as calm and cool as could be, he said, "There was an alligator right there in that water, and it got a hold of me, so you better watch out." Well, we're in West Virginia. We do not have alligators. But I could still just remember this kid running back to his mother saying, "Mom, there's alligators in here. We got to leave." So my dad never lost his sense of humor, that was for sure. But, when men and women come back, I'm sure you deal with – you see the physical aspect, but it's the mental aspect that they deal with, which I'm sure is very difficult for them to deal with.
Yes, sir. I've got to tell you a quick similar story. Ryan Jobe was with SEAL Team 3, Charlie Platoon. It's what the American Sniper movie. They called him Biggles in the movie. And Ryan I took him on top of Rainier, and he became one of my best friends, and then he became our spokesman for Camp Patriot. And, of course, in the movie they say that he, died on the operating table. And anyways, he was overdosed and passed away, and then when we went to bury Ryan, Chris was the guy that picked me up for Ryan's funeral, and we became really close. So a lot of those guys from that platoon are buddies of ours. And his uncle, Ryan's uncle, actually works with me on the ranch here. He's a builder and a hunter, and so he's pretty much my right-hand man here on the ranch. His name's Dave McCormick. But Ryan did the similar thing. He was in a grocery store, and he's, obviously got a pretty hellacious scar, whereas, he was shot and took out both eyes. And the little kid came up to him and cursed, what happened to you? You know, and his mom, of course, was terrified and embarrassed that she's approaching this young man that's blind. He goes, never, ever run with scissors. the mother kind of laughed, and, you know, so it's these men and women that come back, obviously the mental scars are there, and it's just, it's amazing to see how they adapt for the most part. I think we're, without getting on a soapbox, I think we're over-medicating a lot of these people, and I don't deal with the VA or anybody, so I don't know all the ins and outs, but I hear a lot of horror stories from the guys that come on trips that, you know, they've been heavily medicated. And so, you want to know there's a silver bullet to deal with this PTSD and everything else, I'll tell you, it's Jesus Christ. And, you know, you can't. In some circles, that doesn't go over real well. But if you want the honest truth, that's it. And so I think a loving, country, people that will put their arms around you and say, hey, we're here for you, which, you know, we should be doing, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. But that, along with, you know, knowing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that's your answer.
That's exactly right. And when we get off the phone today, Micah, make sure you send me, if you could, your address. One of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to send you for the ranch up there, I'm going to send you a copy both of My Story of America and Author of Liberty. So when the guys are there, if they're just sitting around, kicking back, somebody wants to read something, there'll be 16 powerful stories there of how God has worked through people's lives, some military, some people from other countries, but they'll all really just make an impact where, like you said, that, because I've got a guy in the book that dealt with the PTSD. He's a Medal of Honor recipient from World War II. Fought at Iwo Jima. His name's Woody Williams. In fact, they just named the Navy just named an aircraft carrier after him. And his story is in My Story of America. And it he really tells about what was going on with his life. What he couldn't get past was the aspect of how many people he had actually killed. He said he couldn't even count how many that he had killed, and it bothered him, it burdened him, and it wasn't until, you know, a specific event that totally changed his life. And I think these things like that are good, and I love what you're doing with the group up there. And, you know, what I love is the fact that you're taking guys that can't see up to a mountain top that's 14,000 feet, knowing that they can't see when they get up there, but what do they feel? I mean, what are they telling you when they get to the top of that? Of course, because they can't see the beauty, but what are they saying to you at that point?
Well, Ryan, when he was alive, I think he said he was out of air, for one, but he says he could really feel the mountain. Yeah, you know, he was completely blind, and so, you know, I don't know if it's just the pressure or if he could feel the difference when he was on top. I've only had three that were completely blind, some that had, you know, seeing impairment. But and then we had, I forget how many we've had that were vets that were below the knee amputee. We found out that, you know, below the knee, the guys are just motoring almost like you don't even know they're missing a leg. But that above the knee makes a huge difference. But, yeah, you know, just the experience of some of those things, and I wouldn't say, you know, gives back their manhood, their womanhood. It kind of does. It, you know, especially the guys are special operations. It's they'll never say they're questioning whether or not they can do the same kind of things they did, you know, being now blind or missing a limb. But it's definitely, you can see it's like that badge of honor is still on. It's kind of like, yeah, I can still do this stuff. You know, I just got the top 14,410 feet that a lot of able-bodied people aren't able to accomplish. So, you know, in some aspects it does give them back that kind of that feeling. So it was a great climb. We had to actually quit doing the climb when we got the ranch. If you can imagine, we have to go through a group out of New Hampshire that strictly provides insurance to, you know, guide-type services. So nobody really wants to touch us when we're telling them we're taking people blind, missing limbs, and doing all these different outdoor activities. So we actually had to sign a document say we wouldn't climb any snowy volcanoes to actually insure the assets, so, which was fine. You know, the climb is one of those things. I told the board it's like parachuting. Certainly you're going to have a bad chute, and, it, you know, maybe it's no fault to anybody. It just happens, and somebody's going to die. And it was better for us to kind of cut sling load from that and move forward to pursuing the ranch, because it just wasn't the fundraiser it needed to be, and we're only impacting 4 vets a year on the climb. And the idea with the ranch is that I can get 150, 200 vets a year coming through. I'd like to say 300, but you start looking at the cost of everything. We pay for everything. So when I bring an individual out from New York, you know, you're looking at, you know, retail value of about $3,500 trip. So, you know, my airlines are about $1,000, and so I'd love to have a couple of air carriers get involved. But the bottom line is, going back to, you know, we can impact a lot more lives having the ranch. And, you know, so the climb was great, and we were happy to. Other groups kind of spawned off. We were the very first group to climb Big Snowy Mountains, and other groups have started off after seeing it, and that's, I think, fully what they do, which our hat's off to them. So we're happy to kind of spearhead that.
You know, that is awesome. How long did it take to climb Mount Rainier?
We would typically go July 5th through the 9th. It was our best window of opportunity, and you got to understand, Mike, I was, you know, when I met Curtis Foley, our lead guide, you know, in college he was a climber, but he was a climber with all these, you know, the Michael Jordans of climbing, like Ed Veesters and the Whitakers and Dave Hahn and all these guys. I mean, Dave's got like 22 summits on Everest or something now, something crazy, and he's just an animal. So I mean, he's like, hey, do you know this guy? I'm like, no, I've never heard of him, because I wasn't a climber. So I'm shaking hands with all these superstars of the climbing world and not even knowing it. And so after about 3 years into this, I'm realizing, hey, I'm getting to hang out with the Michael Jordans of climbing. And so it was really cool. And some of the guys and gals that were able to climb, that, you know, they knew of these people. So that made a pretty cool impact as well.
That is awesome. Hey, folks, we are talking with Micah Clark. He is head of Camp Patriot out in Montana. And when we come back, we're going to find out a little bit more about what they've got going on right now. But it's exciting to hear this guy had a vision and he just up and started it. And now 250-some veterans he impacts every year with their ranch. We're going to hear more about it here on My Story of America Radio on the Veritas Radio Network. It is radio the way it should be.
I knew a man called him Sandy Kane. Few folks even knew his name, but a hero, yes, was he. Left a boy, came back a man. Still many just don't understand about the reasons we are free. I can't forget the look in his eyes, or the tears he cried, as he said these words to me. All gave some gave all, some stood through for the red, white, and blue. Some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some